From the Windows, Doors, and More Studios, your one-stop shop for all your kitchen and bath needs. The Pat Miller Program. WoWo, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM. Depend on it.
Hey, good afternoon to you all. Welcome. It is the Pat Miller Program, your Saturday think tank here as we try to wrap up a little bit of what's happened in and around the fort, the county, the state, and our country all this week, and to maybe get our minds all set so that we're ready to attack the new week as well. And so we're very, very, very glad that you are here. Now, if you want to text me while I'm here, you can do that at 46862. That's 46862. Text the word WoWo, then your question or comment, and it comes right here. You can also email me, Pat Miller, all one word, no dots or dashes, patmiller@wowo.com. This is a quote from one of your Supreme Court justices, Ketanji Brown. Ketanji Brown Jackson. Got to get the whole name in there. Here's what she said. Now this is somebody on the Supreme Court who is supposed to understand you and me and our laws and our Constitution and have a working knowledge of all of it. I mean, isn't that what we expect by the time you sit on the Supreme Court? Here's what she said. My biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways. Hamstringing the government. Ms. Brown, you may not have intended it to be this way, but you're exactly correct. That is my view. That is exactly what it is the First Amendment is supposed to do. And in fact, not just the First Amendment, but the whole Bill of Rights is meant to hamstring the government from trampling over our God-given rights, even if what we do with those rights is distasteful to coastal elites. The people on the far right coast and the far left coast. They will show up later in our program today, by the way. But you've got a person sitting there on the Supreme Court who is talking about this is what this is doing. You want us to use the First Amendment to hamstring our government in significant ways to keep it from doing what it is that they feel like they want to do. Ms. Brown, you're exactly correct. Now, not to be outdone, Nancy Pelosi, who, thank the good Lord, is no longer the majority leader in the House, but is in fact just a member of the House. She's not even the minority leader. But she said this, Trump is predicting a bloodbath. This comes up again later, by the way. This whole thing of bloodbath, what did he say? What did he mean by what he said? And what's it going to mean to all of us going forward? This bloodbath idea. She goes, what does it mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath. Look, when anybody uses the term bloodbath related to economic problems, especially somebody who already incited a bloodbath after he lost the last election, we all know what he meant. That's Dan Goldman, Democrat of New York. Is that really what it meant? Is that really, really what he meant? That's how fascism, totalitarianism, and the Holocaust came to Germany. A major party candidate saying, you like me, there's going to be a dictatorship, bloodbath, violence, retribution against my political enemies that equals what we saw in Italy, in Germany, and other places. Look, Trump may share a rhetorical style with somebody like a Stalin or a Mussolini, but that's it. His violent rhetoric is ambiguous. It's clearly this guy wants to be returned to Congress so he can save the whole country from a bloodbath, not one that he would exact. That's where we lose it. Well, if we don't elect him, he's just going to flip a switch and the bloodbath will start. Flip a switch where by whom? How would that happen? This is crazy. Joe Biden goes, it's clear this guy wants another January the 6th. Like you guys wanted one back on January the 6th? Look, Trump is talking about the automotive industry. He mentions cars before and he mentions cars after the bloodbath comment. If Democrats, now those of you that are Democrats and are listening, I apologize if you're listening and you just don't like it, but please listen to me at least for this. If Democrats had any kind of coherent message beyond blurting out January the 6th every 7 minutes. They would argue about trade with Trump rather than concocting non-existent threats. Why don't they argue trade with him? Why don't they do that? What? It's just beyond me. However much you hate the media, it's not enough. And no matter how much you can bring yourself to hate them, it will never be as much as they hate you. These despicable creatures divide Americans by skin color, sexual orientation, income, and any other way possible, while whining about how it's Republicans dividing people. It's how a president can give a speech calling everyone who disagrees with him a Nazi, then call for people to unite with him. When you have zero chance of being called out for your hypocrisy, why not be a hypocrite? I mean, as long as you're going to be Pelosi or Biden, or you're going to be the vice president, as long as you have all the media on your side and there's no way they're going to call you out for your hypocrisy, why not go ahead and be a hypocrite? I love what Corinne Jean-Pierre, my favorite name for a White House press secretary, Corinne Jean-Pierre, what she said. Now follow this. Now you guys are legitimate people. You have brains. You buy your own groceries. You pay for your own gas. You're making car and house payments on your own. Here's what he said. Or what she said. Corinne said, the president has done everything he can to deal with oil. The actions that he took led to lowering gas prices. Yeah, for a month and a half. What was everything he could do? To go out and to rob our defense strategic piles of petroleum? That was his answer? Because that's what he did. And in fact, that's all he did. He's done everything that he can. President himself said, we're going to keep making the case for a second term by lowering the costs and creating more jobs. Then why haven't you been doing it for the last 3.5 years? Why do you wait until now to spring this out like it's the big Christmas surprise? It's absolutely amazing to me. Do you remember what I said at the start of this broadcast today when I quoted Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who said that she was concerned because it looks like that the First Amendment is going to be used to hamstring the government. Joe Biden said, I think she's the brightest person on the court. Wow. The brightest person on the court? Ketanji Jackson Brown? I don't know. I don't know. One more thought before we go to our first break. How about this one? After having thus successively taken each member of the community in its powerful grasp and fashioned him at will, the supreme power then extends its arm over the whole community. It covers the surface of society with a network of small, complicated rules, minute and uniform, through which the most original minds and the most energetic characters cannot penetrate to rise above the crowd. The will of man is not shattered, but softened, bent, and guided. Men are seldom forced by it to act, but they are constantly restrained from acting. Such a power does not destroy, but it does prevent existence. It does not tyrannize, but it compresses, innervates, extinguishes, stupefies a people, till each nation is reduced to nothing better than a flock of timid and industrious animals of which the government is the shepherd. French historian Alexis de Tocqueville, who died in 1859. In other words, truth is still truth. It's just been a while. Back with more straight ahead. Glad you're with us. This is Pat Miller here on Mobile 92.3 FM and 1190 AM.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WoWo, 92.3 FM at 1190 AM and on the WoWo app.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Still glad you're with us here on this Saturday. I hope you're enjoying your weekend. The weekend should be getting warmer as we continue to move forward. They'll be filled with more and more spring and summer activities. So we will finally be climbing out of the doldrums of winter. And I'm with you. It always tends to get me down, the gray days, the snowy days, the rainy days. just the cold. You know, it always gets me down. So hopefully we're getting beyond all of that. And I'm glad you're going to be here with us. Make sure whether it's on Saturday or all throughout the week, you want to turn, if you need to know what's going on with weather, to wowo.com or 1190 AM or 92.3 FM. Make sure every morning when you get up, like me, your alarm is set for WoWo. And that way, Caleb Blakeslee and her crew on Fort Wayne's Morning News can catch you up with everything that's going on. And then Casey Hendrickson every afternoon. A high school male took 10th place in the girls' high jump in a recent national indoor track meet in Boston, continuing this streak of elbowing out female athletes from placing in the event. Lizzie Cohen Bidwell, a Connecticut resident whose name at birth was not that, but was in fact Lucas, qualified for the national meet by taking first in the girls' high jump in the regional competition. Bidwell is a high school junior from West Hartford, Connecticut, competed as one of six female runners representing the state March 10th in the high jump at the New Balance Nationals indoor meet. Well, this male athlete placed third in the girls' high jump and fifth in the girls' long jump on February the 17th at the Open Indoor Track and Field Championships. Well, Connecticut continues to demonstrate a disregard for women's achievement. Mae Mailman, director of the Independent Women's Law Center, told the Daily Signal, they are continuing to demonstrate a total disregard for women's achievements. Her organization defends equal opportunity, individual liberty, and what it calls the legal relevance of biological sex. Legal relevance. We hear a lot of things thrown out of us about fairness and legal fairness. What about legal relevance? Is there some relevant that because the mechanics of the legs and the muscles of the legs and the muscles of the lower back in a young man and a young woman are not the same? May said, thanks to the state's anti-female policies, young men continue to take records, roster spots, dignity, and hope away from women. This level of discrimination has no place in our society, and every coach, administrative official, and parent who condones this through their action is participating in the degradation and unequal treatment of women. Now, there was a March 2nd regional championship in New England High School Indoor Track and Field Championship that allowed the submission of names of six competitors per event, according to the meet program. Bidwell was one of two transgender athletes to beat females in the girls' high jump at the national meet. Mael Jacques, a biological male from New Hampshire, placed 14th in the event at last weekend's national. Jacques qualified by winning the girls' high jump on February the 11th at the state's Interscholastic Athletic Association Division II Championship. Another less-than-mediocre man atop a woman's podium was, in fact, the former competitive swimmer and women's sports advocate Riley Gaines, wrote of Jacques on X, formerly Twitter, said, he must be so proud. I mean, this is killing people like Riley Gaines, who are females, who competed as females, who grew up as females, and they're sitting back and watching males come in and just step all over the accomplishment of young women like herself. Bidwell qualified for the New England Regional Indoor Track Championship by placing in the girls' high jump and long jump in the Connecticut State Championship, pushing out female athletes in both events. For unreported reasons, the athlete did not compete as scheduled in the girls' long jump. Bidwell's jump of 5 feet 9 inches at the regional made the biological male the highest-ranked female athlete of 2024 for indoor track at Connecticut. Nationally, he ranks 5th best among high school girls in the high jump. If Bidwell had competed in the boys' high jump, what he had done, he would have needed to have cleared 6 feet 1 inch to qualify. Bidwell's parents legally changed his name from Lucas to Lizzie between the ages of 9 and 10. His competition in the girls' event at the regional took an award away from a biological female. The March 2nd win secured the athlete a first-place plaque as second New England champion. This is not just in New England. This is now happening across the country, where boys are taking the place of girls in sporting events designed for female athletes. At the end of September in Maine, for example, a biological male runner, and there in Maine it was one who identifies as a female, Soren Stark Chessa, went from the middle of the pack in boys' races to winning the award for fastest sophomore girl at Maine's largest high school cross-country race. Listen, this goes back to some of the arguments we used to have about women and about them being able to achieve achievement going into the military. The only way they can go in under the same combat status as males in the military is they have to pass the same quota. But they couldn't, so we've started bending some of the tests in our military. The only way, according to what we're seeing now, don't get me wrong here, this is not true for everybody everywhere, but by and large, the only way that females in the military will be able to protect us to the same level as males is if, in fact, the females in the military are transgender. They're faster, they're stronger, they're more highly achievable. Get mad if you want, but that's what this shows me. Now, the caveat to that is females in the military working in leadership, squad divisions, or as pilots, women might, in fact, have some slight advantage as pilots because they have the brute strength of their plane there at their ready, same as a guy, except that women's reflexes can sometimes be just a bit faster, just a bit stronger. Arkansas just infuriated the trans community down there in their state. Woke leftists have been forcing everybody to go along with their delusion that gender is an individual decision. It's not a biological reality. The heck it's not. But the deeply red state of Arkansas isn't playing along with the leftist agenda. Arkansas, also known as the natural state, has decided to use common sense and stop playing games with gender, and the trans community is furious. At least 22 states, federal agencies, and the District of Columbia have been allowing residents to use X gender markers or identification documents without providing any form of verification. Arkansas residents will no longer be allowed to use such markers on their state ID cards, according to the Arkansas Department of Finance Administration. They have to have on those cards whether or not they are a male from birth or a female from birth. Any licenses and IDs that were issued prior that have the X marker will continue to remain valid until they expire. But when they expire, they have to go back to the standard F or M. According to LGBTQ news outlet Into, since 2010, Arkansas has been allowing gender-neutral options and allowing transgender people to change their gender markers without having to provide documentation. Well, they were, but now they're not. Now, residents in Arkansas will have either an F for female or an M for male on their IDs and their driver's licenses. And if I might just say, such as it should be. Going to be back with our special guest, Tommy Carden from Redemption House. We're going to talk to her about some issues regarding women in our area. That comes up straight ahead right here on WOWO 92.3 FM and 1190 AM. Welcome back. I'm really excited with my next guest, Tommy Carden. You might say, who? Tommy is the CEO of a very important organization here in our area. I've had this group on my program before, but it's been years. But Tommy is here, and she's with us live in the studio. Tommy, good afternoon to you.
Well, hello, Pat. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And so tell us first, before we get into this special event, tell us about Redemption House and the the length of time you guys have been around, and what is the main emphasis of Redemption House?
I'd be happy to. Thank you. So Redemption House started in August of 2012.
Okay.
It's a transition ministry for women that are dealing with incarceration or post-incarceration traumas.
I'm glad you told me which transition, because in the world in which we live today,
yes,
when we talk about
there's
women
lots
in transition,
of transitions.
I'm like, okay, wait a minute.
Transition from addiction, trauma, incarceration.
Okay. So not everybody has been incarcerated, but everybody you deal with has had some connectedness with drugs because of what you're dealing with here.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Every woman that comes into our program is ordered by a court program, a criminal justice program, or problem-solving court.
So and this is maybe a bad correlation, Shepherd's House, we're mm-hmm. around them a lot,
mm-hmm.
but your ability for who can come see you is kind of overseen,
yes,
and all that. You can't just pick up people off the street.
No, we have a very specific lane that we serve, and we try to stay focused on it. We don't want to veer too far off one way or the other, because there are women that are incarcerated or potentially about to be incarcerated in our community and surrounding communities that need help.
Okay.
So if we stick to this particular lane and we do the very best we can in it, we can keep women from repeating those cycles, going around those mountains and ending up back in jail.
A lady comes to Redemption, okay, and she's there with you. A normal length of stay is what?
It is a court-ordered 6 months.
Okay.
So it would be a part of a sentence.
Okay.
And then they have an additional up to 6 months they can choose to stay in our transitional living program.
Okay. Do you get that a lot? That somebody's there and 6 months is coming, and as it gets closer, they come to see you and they go, can I talk to you about something? And the thought of leaving and running back into society scares them to death.
We get it. Not a lot. I wish we would get it a little bit more. But it's a big sign of maturity and growth for a woman to know she's coming up to the end of a required sentence and to choose the best thing for herself is to stay where she knows she's safe, provided for, held accountable, because she's working on things.
Yeah.
So, yes, we do get the conversation.
Yeah.
It's usually not easy for a woman to have with us, but it really does show some maturity and growth on their part.
On a normal day, the number of residents that you have is how many?
We have two transitional living homes that can serve up to 16 women at a time.
Wow.
So we can have 25, 30 women in and out every day. With our staffing there 24/7, having classes, doing chores, sharing dinner, there's a lot of women.
When somebody's been out of your group for 6 months or a year, have you ever had a woman come back and say, hey, I don't need to live here, I'm fine. I just came back to thank you because my time after Redemption House is so different from my time before.
I just got a text message from a graduate that I hadn't heard from in 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Telling me how much her time with us meant to me, meant to her.
Right.
And what the time we spent together and the things that she learned has changed the trajectory of her life.
Wow.
So it does happen, and it brings a tear to my eye every time.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
you don't always know what you do and if it makes a difference.
Yeah,
but you hope it does.
For me, I'm not with a specific organization like that, but through my teaching in two classes at my church and then some things that we do on air. And sometimes if I go out and I'm doing a live appearance somewhere, I'll get into some side conversation after the speech and everything with somebody, and to see them needing you to help them get themselves aligned, but to have them call back, email you back, come to your class and say, hey, you've got to know that after we had our discussion, after I went through your spiritual gifts class or whatever it is, you know, it really changed my life. That is so rewarding because nobody's paying them to say that.
They aren't. And, you know, I wake up every morning, Pat, grateful to be a part of a ministry like this.
Yeah.
And I do pray that the Holy Spirit uses my words and my presence in a way that can inspire true change.
Yeah.
You never know what situations you're going to encounter, what challenges you're going to be invited to walk through with someone. And I pray that I am able to say something that can penetrate their heart.
I promise we're going to get to the event, but I'm just so full of everything that goes on there at Redemption House. Why? I mean, in 2012, what was it in you that you had some experience in your own life helping a woman here, a woman there, but it just became this burning thing, and you had to do Redemption House. What was that like for you?
Well, I blame God.
I do that every day, by the way.
In the best possible way. Yeah. But actually, Pat, earlier this year, in January of this year, I celebrated 25 years clean myself.
Is that right? So congratulations, first of all.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I know firsthand what God can do with a life that is submitted to Him.
Yeah.
And if you would have told me 25 years ago I would be here, or that I would have the honor and privilege of working in this field or being a part of so many women's journeys at the very beginning of recovery, the very beginning of faith, the very beginning of discovering their worth, understanding that they have a purpose. If you would have told me that that was where I was headed, I would have laughed at you, as most people that knew me then would as well.
Yeah.
So I think the passion comes from the fact that it's happened in my life. I am a walking example of what can be redeemed out of your brokenness.
Yeah.
And if I can help women and walk along with them and advocate for them and love them into 25 years later, I can't wait to hear what God has done in their lives.
Whether you're talking to one or two women at a time or 16 women in one house, when you get to the point with them that somehow you share with them what you came out of, their eyes probably get about as big around as saucers because they are where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see you a very put together person and you're functioning and you're happy and you're smiling.
I'm glad it looks like that.
Yeah. And they're, I've always been told I have a face for radio. So, but that's got to be rewarding too. And there's got to be a little bit of a shock because most people that are in a need of a redemptive act in their life, they think you're trying to help them, but you've never had what they
think you don't understand.
Yeah.
It does put us on a different kind of intimacy, you know, a different level, a different playing field, because they start to take what I say a little bit more seriously.
Yeah.
Because when I say I can relate to where you're coming from, I remember for me it was like whatever it turned out to be the situation. But it does, and jaws drop and eyes get big, and no one looks at me today and says, oh, I bet she used to be strung out, right?
Yeah.
Nobody says that.
Yeah, you don't have that aura.
Right. But that's because of God.
Yeah.
I'm still working on myself. I'm still working with the Lord and through His mercy and grace dealing with my own things.
Yeah.
But I have had 25 years of experience and success, and I know that if I remain humble, God will be faithful.
Yeah, that's very true. So we have an event coming up.
We do.
Kind of a big event. And it's going to happen on Tuesday, April 23, down at the Grand Wayne. The Butterfly Gala. Why butterfly? I think I know.
You know.
Yeah. And what is it that's going to happen at this event?
So butterfly, because sometimes the most beautiful things come out of the darkest times.
Yeah.
Transformation, change. You can go through a metamorphosis in your own life and become something that you didn't even know existed before.
Right.
That's why the butterfly. The darkest times teach us the best lessons, and we can soar after that.
Yeah.
So it's just celebrating the transformation in women's lives. It's a night where we come together. This is our premier fundraiser. So this is the time.
This is the biggie.
This is the biggie. Okay. We have a really neat opportunity for people to support this event or this initiative. It's called Each Day Matters. And for $33 a day is what it costs for a woman to go through our program.
Okay.
So if you contribute $33, you just supported one woman's journey for a day through our program.
And in that, and people say $33, but that's food and that's housing and that's keeping the lights on and the heat running.
It's everything.
Yeah, it's the whole nine
and
yards.
It's staff and it's classes and it's programming and it's church and it's Bible study and it's, you know, a library filled with books and a craft room filled with crafting supplies.
It's everything glued together.
It's providing a family.
Yeah, which is really kind of amazing. And they probably sense a great deal. The women that are there, they probably sense a great deal probably about halfway through their stay. This is starting to make so much sense to me.
Yes.
Because first of all, they have to buy into it.
Yes.
First of all, that there is redemption for somebody like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Apostle Paul said, look, I was the worst, okay? I killed Christians. I did this and that.
Yeah.
If there's grace for me, guess what? There's grace for you.
Yes.
I lean on Paul a lot.
Yeah. He's a good example.
Well, yeah. And for me now, I've now known the Lord for 52 years.
Wow.
And when He says, you know, I have a thorn in my flesh, we don't know what it is, and I've prayed three times and it's not gone, to which I then say, okay, I'm not crazy about that one spot in my life, but Jesus and I will work through that. So it's nice to know that at the basis of everything, loving, caring, feeding, housing, maybe helping them find work later, that's all there. But at the base of it is this walk with Christ.
Yes.
So that's amazing. That's really amazing.
So you're right. When a woman comes, we have to earn their trust. We have to take the opportunity to be consistent in their lives, in our love and our accountability. And you're right, it's usually, you know, it's a different point for each woman, but about halfway through, we start to become less stupid, much like, you know, children look at their parents like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, well, maybe you do know what you're talking about. And then they get towards the end, and you're right, they don't often want to leave because this has become their safe place.
Yeah,
their
family. That's exactly right.
Yes.
And a safe place is an amazing thing. I remember as a kid, we had some houses in our neighborhood that with our school, the school printed up a special safe house little poster thing.
Yep.
And they would put that 8.5 by 11 in their picture window. And so if anything ever happened or somebody, there's a car following you as you're walking home, you knew that's a home you could go to.
Yep.
When you find that safe place, whether you've had to use it or not,
you know,
it's excellent to know it's there.
We don't post a poster on our window, but we have a cross on our front door.
See, there you go.
That makes
sense. You radical. So, okay, so let's get down to this again.
You got
now,
it.
This banquet is Tuesday, April the 23rd at the Grand Wayne Center. If you can find out more if you want to go to, and this is important, you get the FW in there, redemptionhousefw.org. That's redemptionhousefw.org. And people can go there and they can find out the ticket pricings and all the other stuff that's going on.
They can get tickets. They can get tables. Starting April 1st, they can start bidding on our silent auction items.
Oh, okay.
And they could even give. If someone's unable to make it to the event, they can contribute. $100 supports 3 days of a woman's journey.
Is that right?
$6,000 pays for a whole woman's entire 6 months.
Wow.
You know, and I know there are people out there whose lives have been touched by addiction.
Yeah, no, that's
or
right.
Or their families or someone they know and they wonder, what can I do? It's a big problem. It's I don't know anybody. I don't know what to say or how to do it. Well, you can come alongside those of us who have committed our lives
and
to diving
in. And for a lot of
in.
Them, even their own personal family, they've kind of given up on them.
Yes,
I mean, they haven't said
journey.
It, but they've pulled back. Okay, this is coming up April the 23rd. You can go to their website, again, redemptionhousefw.org. You can get tickets. When the auction comes open on April 1st, you can go there and go to the silent auction and bid all kinds of stuff. Stay away from anything that says Chicago Cubs because that's mine. But I have bought more stuff for the Cubs through silent auctions.
You can't keep that in mind.
You ought to see the north wall in my office at home. Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing. This is the Butterfly Gala. It's an incredible thing. And Tommy has been with us today. And Tommy, I appreciate, first of all, that in 2012 you listened to the voice of God all the way to beginning this thing and then staying with it. I know how nonprofits work. Yeah. It didn't look like it was going to work for the first year and a half. That's just how it goes.
I'm still wondering if I know what I'm doing. But 12 years and six houses later, I think maybe we're on the right track.
I've been at this station since the year 2000. I still don't know what I'm doing.
As soon as you figure you know something,
Life
has a way of teaching you. You
my
might
producer's
not.
Sitting over there. If he doesn't push the button, I'm dead in the water.
He is laughing when I said
he
that.
He is.
So.
Hey, listen, thank you very much. Is there also a phone number that they can call if they need to reach your office?
Absolutely. The phone number for our office is 260-449-9091.
Okay, that's pretty easy. 260-449-9091. That's 260-449-9091. Tommy, thanks for today.
Thank you, Pat. It's always a pleasure being here.
I appreciate it very, very much.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WoWo 92.3 FM and 1190 AM and at WoWo.com.
And welcome back. Our thanks again to Tommy for being with us. We had Tommy Carden with us from Redemption House in the last segment. And what a great work that they are doing there. You can find out more about her at their site, which we gave you, or you could go to the Pat Miller Program and get connected to the interview, and you could hear it again. Remember, all of the interviews that we do, we podcast all of them and put them together for your convenience in one easy place to find. So just go there and find it all there at wowo.com, find the Pat Miller Program, find podcasts, and you'll see all of our interviews, and they will be logged there by hour. So everything that we've done so far in the program would be today's date, hour one. By the way, hour two is coming up straight ahead. And in hour two, Philip Weigman, the White House correspondent from Real Clear Politics, will be with us. One of the things I want to ask Congressman Jim Banks on today, because Congressman Banks will be with us in the last segment of the program today from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. I want to ask if he, in fact, is choosing still to stand against all of the spending bill that is being pushed forward in Congress. I know that he was. I need to make sure that he still is. Because this spending bill, this massive $1.2 trillion spending bill, that has been released, it's got a few developments in it that have me a little bit more than perplexed and slightly more than troubled. The $1.2 trillion spending bill, which was released by House Speaker Mike Johnson and by Republican leaders in the wee little hours of the morning, well, the bill is more than 1,000 pages, and it is filled with what I'm going to call some outrageous expenditures. And when I say outrageous, that is absolutely what I mean. House members have been told to prepare for a vote today that would be a direct violation of the 72-hour rule, which requires the text of a bill to be released at least 72 hours before a vote. Okay, but you're releasing it, and then you want it voted on in less than 24 hours. What gives? What are you afraid of? Chip Roy, Republican Texas, said it is a total lack of backbone. A total lack of backbone, total lack of leadership, and a total failure by Republican leadership. I don't even have words for any Republican that votes for this bill. I promise you I will not be going out and supporting any Republican who votes for this bill or any of its positions ever again. The proposed bill already represents this complete surrender on any efforts to secure our southern border. But it's also filled with all this outrageous proposals. There is, in fact, in this bill, are you all sitting down? Are you ready for this? In this bill, there is a $400,000 tax in this bill, tax money earmarked for a group called Briar Patch Youth Services. Doesn't that sound awesome? Briar Patch Youth Services. If I would have asked you 10 years ago, what is Briar Patch Youth Services? It sounds like maybe a camping or a river rafting organization where you get kids out, get them away from all the humdrum of life, get them out there and let them be real young people. No. This is an organization that gives gender-confused 13-year-olds binding and tucking clothing without parental permission. I'm going to say this one more time. Binding and tucking clothing to cover or to mash down whatever you need to mash down to look like you're somebody from the other side of the genital aisle. And it will do all that. Oh, and we'll do it without parental permission. Now, their big tuck around there is going to be what? It's going to be, well, there are no drugs involved. So it's not like they're asking to get an abortion without permission or they're taking an affirming, gender-affirming drug. This is just binding and tucking. Oh, really? Is that all? Do me a favor. By the time you hear this program, the vote will have been taken. Get ready to look up who voted how and to call and congratulate your congressman for what it is they did, or to call and chew them out and tell them they had better reverse course really fast if they want to see one more vote, one more dime, one more rally in their hometown for their campaigns. We need to start holding rank on these people. We need to start holding our cards. If we don't, why should they do any different than what they've done? You'll find out in the 5 o'clock hour, what did Jim Banks do? And we'll find out that and other things coming up in the next hour. Philip Weigman from Washington, D.C., right here on WoWo.
Podcasts by Federated Media.